Okay, Brittany.
Uh-huh.
30 seconds on the clock.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Do you know how many players there are on an ice hockey team?
The whole team? Like 35.
If the volleyball hits the top of the net on the serve and goes over the net in play, what is the ruling?
In.
What color is a standard tennis ball?
Green.
Which sport involves a bat, a ball, and wickets?
What?
What is the name of the flat rubber disc used in the game of ice hockey?
Puck.
In soccer, what is a PK?
I literally have no idea.
In a regulation hockey game, how many players are on the ice per team?
Like six.
Your 30 seconds are up.
Oh, God. That was hard.
Yeah.
I just Googled what is the color of a standard tennis ball. Oh, yellow and white are the only colors approved by the ITF.
So, would you call yourself a sports expert?
You be the judge.
I mean, the thing is, I didn't know the answer to most of those questions either. So, Brittany, you and I cannot do a sports show together.
Okay.
You're going to need somebody else.
You might be right. We got to call in reinforcements.
Matthew?
I would say so. I think that's a good idea.
Matthew Nelson?
Yeah. Matthew Nelson.
One of the Gimlet development producers. Top bloke.
Loves sports.
Has been wanting to get sports on Sampler.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, Brittany.
Bye, I guess, for now. Thanks for nothing. From Gimlet Media, this is Sampler. I'm Brittany Luce, your host, and that fellow sports non-expert you just heard was my producer, Sarah Abdurrahman. And if you couldn't tell from our failed attempt to prove our sports knowledge, the theme of this episode is all about the competitive games we play and fascinating world around them. But obviously, as you just heard, we had to bring in some help for this one. So today, we have in studio the Thunder from Down Under. It's Scotland.
Right.
Gimlet's own Braveheart, Matthew Nelson.
Hello, Brittany. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to play you sports clips that are so good and compelling and amazing that even a non-sports fan like yourself will be thrilled and captivated by them.
I hope so. I mean, I trust your judgment. Based upon your accent, it's very obvious that you love soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Or football.
Football. Yeah, I do. It's my life's obsession. I like it more than anything, including my family members and girlfriend. It's top of my list of priorities. It's the first thing I think about when I wake up and the last thing I think about before I sleep.
I feel like I'm in good hands already.
So the first clip I want to play for you captures something that I think is deep in the heart of every sports fan. Mm-hmm. And that is like our desire to be out there on the field or on the court or on the ice rink, like playing with our idols.
Yeah.
This clip is from Snap Judgment. Mm-hmm. And the voice that you're going to hear belongs to a guy called Steve Davies. So Steve Davies is a lifelong fan of this soccer team called West Ham. And they're kind of like one of the old storied soccer teams in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
In 1994, Steve was attending a pre-season friendly game, which is kind of like an exhibition match,
mm-hmm.
between his club, West Ham, and Oxford City. So Steve, he's getting a little bit rowdy because he's so passionate about the team that if he feels like his players aren't giving 100%, then he feels like it's his right to abuse them and that they should be like trying just as hard as he is from his seat with his beer in one hand, his cigarette in the other hand. So the target of his abuse mainly was this player called Lee Chapman. This guy, Lee Chapman, was having an absolutely dreadful game. He's having a shocker and...
Wait, a what?
He's having a shocker.
What does that mean?
He's having a very bad performance.
Is that like a British thing or a sports thing?
I think it's a British thing.
Okay, go ahead.
He's having a shocker. So he's doing really, really badly. And then in the second half, Chapman gets injured and has to leave the game. And Steve is sort of taunting him. He's calling him a donkey and cheering his departure. And then the coach of West Ham walks right up to the stands, right up to where Steve is sitting, And I'm going to let Steve take the story from here. But be warned, he has a very heavy London accent, Brittany. Okay?
Okay.
So here's Steve recounting what happened when the coach came up to him.
And he goes, do you reckon you can play as good as you talk? What do you mean? Do you want to play? If you think you can play better than Chapman, you can come on. And I thought he was calling me bluff. Yeah, no problem, I'll do it. But no, he dragged me over the barrier, sent me down the changing rooms to go and get changed. My friend Chunk couldn't believe it, and a few other West Ham fans around there were like, all open mouth, going, what the hell's going on? So I went down there with a kit man, got me full kit on, and he said, what size boots are you? I said, size 9. So he took some boots out of this big basket, put my boots on, put my shin pads on, and I thought, no, this can't be happening. I'm not going to be playing for West Ham. I got West Ham tattoos all my life, and everything I do, I lived and breathed West Ham. Is this going to happen? Am I going to play for West Ham?
Yeah, he is going to play for West Ham.
What?
In front of a crowd of about 7,000 people as well. So... if you can imagine that, and I'm like every sports fan, I've had this fantasy, like mm-hmm. I've been watching games and I've thought, like, oh, imagine if they're a man short by some reason and they want me. But I don't think I'd be able to do it because I would bottle it. But Steve is a little bit braver than I am. So he gets his soccer cleats on, uh-huh. He gets onto the field, and there he is, he's competing in this soccer game.
That's crazy.
As well as Steve, you'll hear another voice in this clip. It's Glenn Washington, and he is the host of Snap Judgment.
It's true what the players say. When they say, did you hear the crowd chanting your name? They said, well, no, you don't. It's really weird. I did not hear any of my friends at all after that. And all I kept thinking to myself was, don't f*** up, Steve. Just don't f*** up. So the play started, and I went in for a tackle. I didn't win the tackle. And then I think it was about 10 minutes into the game, our centre-half, Alvin Martin, he's a big 6'3" bloke. He struck a ball, probably went about 50, 60 yards, and it came at me like a rocket. 4 or 5 foot up in the air as it got to me, and all I kept thinking, I've got to stop, I've got to trap this, all in a split second. And I did, I trapped it underneath my foot, and then I passed it on to Trevor Morley, our striker, who shot wide. It was then it kind of hit me that I was actually playing for my beloved West Ham. I thought, I'm only going to do this once, let's go and enjoy it. And yeah, I did, considering I've been smoking and drinking before the game, I thought I was doing okay. Suddenly found myself in front of the goal. The ball landed right in front of me, and I thought, this is my moment. This is my moment to score for West Ham. And there's only one place this ball is going, top left-hand corner. I pulled my right leg back, my calf tensed up, my foot connected sweetly with the ball, and boy, have I never hit a ball so hard. I put it straight into the top corner. And that's probably the only time I did hear the crowd. They did cheer, and I was gone. I was up around the corner flag, which was right near where my friends and my partner were standing. And I ran over to them, arms aloft, and I'd done the little jig, jumped up in the air, punched the air. It was just all surreal. I've just scored a goal for West Ham. I could not believe it. That was probably the best feeling in the world.
And that is the legend of Steve Davies. Next on Snap Judgment. Wait, now just a moment.
Well, actually, that's how the legend goes. But the truth in the matter is, well, when I ran away to celebrate my goal, I looked over and saw the linesman with his flag in the air and the referee signalling it wasn't a goal. I was actually 2 yards offside when I scored that goal. When I ran over to the referee, I put my arm around him. I said, that was my moment, you... And he gave me a big smile, and off we went to kick off again. That's the true legend, the Steve Davies. Extraordinaire.
How exciting is that? I can't believe he actually... I mean, like, regardless of the fact that it ended up being, like,
some sort of foul type of thing.
Right. Do you know the offside rule?
No.
Don't feel alone that nobody knows what the fucking offside rule is. Like, I watch this game every single week and I'm still not entirely sure what it is. But yeah, the goal was ruled offside and it didn't count.
But like, even so, the fact that like he kicked it and it went in, like that's so cool. What is going on in his mind? Like what sort of brain chemistry does he have? What sort of confidence does he have where he's just like, yeah, okay, I'm going to suit up. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to do this. Like, so many people would say no. Like you said, you probably wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he somehow was able to put like the fear aside and he just like went out there and he just kicked ass.
The other thing that really gets me about this is the fact that he's been drinking and smoking for the entire day. And what's that going to do for your like your coordination skills or your ability to run around?
Yeah. Because soccer's a straight line. Like, yeah, I mean, in a straight line. Yeah, but I mean, soccer's like what? Most matches are like what, 3 hours? It's like they're running for that, like straight. You know
they're
what
not
I'm saying?
3 hours.
They're not.
They may seem like they're 3 hours.
I just assumed.
Indication of how much you like soccer. The games are 90 minutes.
All right, so clearly I don't know how long this takes. But I mean, yeah, I mean, these people are running for like an hour and a half straight. I could not run around the block if I had been drinking all day and smoking.
For me, it's just the thought of having the eyes of the crowd on me. I was at a soccer game once and the ball went out of play and it came mm-hmm. to me.
Oh my gosh.
So I had to like throw it back onto the field. You don't require any skill for that. Like a child yeah. could do it, but I still managed to cock it up because I was like, oh, this is my moment. Throw the ball. So like I took like a big swing at it and I was like, I'm gonna show this ball who's boss. Yeah. I'm gonna really throw it. And I threw the ball, but I sort of threw it so hard that it got caught up in my jacket and it didn't go anywhere. It just sort of got wedged in my jacket and dribbled to the floor. But it's the memory is like seared in my mind. So if a ball ever comes to me again, I'm just not going to touch it.
I can understand that. You're scarred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I said, like sports fans, they really want to play, but unless you're the great Steve Davies, the chances are that you're never going to get to grace the field. Mm-hmm. So the best way that a lot of us are able to participate is by heckling and abusing athletes.
Yes.
And like nothing brings out hate in normally sort of rational, nice people better than sports. Mm-hmm. So this next clip that I'm going to play you is about hate and how much we sort of harbor these irrational feelings towards the athletes that we watch on TV. It comes from a show by Barstool Sports called Pardon My Take. It's part of the Podcast One Network. Mm-hmm. And Pardon My Take is this kind of comedic sports show hosted by a guy called Dan Katz, mm-hmm. aka The Big Cat.
Okay.
And a guy who goes by the name PFT Commenter, who is actually, his identity is unknown, so we don't know who he is. He's just a random voice in a podcast. In this clip, they're speaking to Michael Rapaport.
The actor.
Yeah. He's the big ginger guy. And yeah, so in this clip, he's talking about his hatred of LeBron James. And there's a bit of sports knowledge you need before we get into this.
Okay.
So back in 2010, LeBron's contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I know this story.
You know this one?
Yeah. He wanted to have a winning team. So he left the Cavs and he went to the Miami Heat.
He did. But before he went there, though, the thing is, he had this TV special on ESPN called The Decision, where he would announce, like, I, LeBron James, will go to this team.
Yeah.
The whole thing was absolutely ridiculous. So PFT Commenter is the first voice that you're going to hear, followed by Michael Rapaport, followed by Big Cat.
So LeBron James, in your opinion, total bitch.
I don't have blind hate. Like, it's like, obviously, and I don't hate LeBron James, but you know, one of the things that the culture of sports, it's like, I grew up literally hating Larry Bird. I couldn't even appreciate the greatness of Michael Jordan because of what he did to my Knicks. I made a promise to myself as I got a little older that I wanted to be able to appreciate the greatness of specifically LeBron James, because when he came into it, first of all, I loved him when he was his first run at Cleveland, as everybody did. He was a kid, you know, he was spectacular. He lived up to all the hype. And you know, like everybody else, I think everything changed for most people the way the decision thing was handled, the whole self-centeredness of it. you know, walking around like he's the president, and then the press conference on live TV. You know, it's just this whole shit. Like, you're a hater. Of course I'm a hater. He's not on my fucking team. I'm not rooting for the fucking Cleveland Cavaliers. So just like I didn't fuck with Larry Bird and I didn't fuck with Michael Jordan, he's the bad guy. If you're not rooting for him, he's the bad guy. So I got to go, you know, I root against him. Like, there's like a lot of hate shaming going on, especially on the internet. I'm not going to be hate shamed.
I hate that. I hate the hate shaming. I was doing that last night because we at this show think that Steph Curry gets love too much, so we're like kind of taking the burden to start, you know, pushing the hate onto him, and people were hate shaming
him.
I want to hate him if I want to hate him.
Well, you can absolutely. He's hard to hate.
No,
you see, you're just not paying enough attention.
Yeah,
did I see his what?
he chews his mouth guard like an asshole. That's where you start. You start small and then you build big.
No. Yeah. Well, listen. He chews it like an asshole. No, that's not a hate thing. That's
you. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, watch it.
He's got a tick with the fucking mouth guard. I get that. But, you know, the way he carries himself, his disposition, you know, it's like he's everything right in terms of, but he's not trying to be everything right. I think he's just a genuinely nice guy and a chill dude. The way he plays the game, you know, like, I fuck with Steph Curry. But if you want to start that bandwagon, I understand
that. It sounds like you're kind of thinking that maybe you could one day hate him too.
Just do me a favor. Focus on the mouth guard and then come back to me and tell me if you still love him.
Okay, so first of all, Michael Rapaport is a Knicks fan. He's from New York, and he's probably been, like, a lifelong Knicks fan. So the thing is, though, is that, like, based upon what I know from, like, having friends who are from the New York area who are also lifelong Knicks fans, is that to be a Knicks fan in 2016, it's like living out a tragedy every single season. Let's be honest, they haven't won in a long ass time. Mm-hmm. So, like, I definitely understand where Michael Rapaport's hate is coming from, as far as, like, I get it. Like, somebody always has to be the bad guy. So I'm not that really into sports, but I'm always into, like, famous, like, female pop singers. Mm-hmm. So people are always like, you know, is it Beyonce or Rihanna or somebody else? You know, so, like, I consider myself a Beyonce super fan, a very avid supporter of her, all of her endeavors. She's my fave. I'm always going to go to bat for her if someone's trying to compare her to, like, another pop star. And I find that, like, the way a lot of people like me support their favorite female pop star is really similar to the way that a lot of, you know, sports fans support their favorite team, for better or worse. So I get that, like, even though the Knicks are a losing team, they are his team. And if you are in any way in opposition to his team, you're already, like, the likelihood of you becoming an enemy just, like, goes way up. And then add to that the fact that, like, LeBron James bothered a lot of people with the decision.
So where do you stand on Steph Curry? Because in that clip they're talking about, you know, he chews the mouth guard, he's kind of a dick. I think he's the most likable guy in sports. He seems like such a nice family man. His kids are ridiculously adorable. His wife seems amazing.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I only saw Steph Curry's face for the first time maybe like 9 months ago. I've never actually really seen him play basketball, and I actually have never seen him speak. So I know very...
Where have you been living? Because he is always on TV.
I know. Now, Ayesha Curry, I know everything about Ayesha. I know about Ayesha's YouTube channel. I know about the fact that she went to San Francisco cooking school. I know that she made a roasted leg of lamb in a cast iron skillet a few weeks ago for dinner. And I know about her line of olive oils. I know everything about Ayesha Curry. But I just never felt, I never felt like I needed to know things about Steph Curry.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then coming up, we've got more amazing sports clips that even somebody who doesn't even know who Steph Curry is could enjoy.
Welcome back to Sampler. We are in the middle of a very special sports episode. My dear colleague, Matthew Nelson, who is kind of like the David Beckham of Gimlet.
Because I'm the most handsome, or I don't understand.
Yeah, yes.
No, I don't think so. That's...
I'm mostly just meant that you're British and you love soccer, but I will give you, I'll give you that too.
I have the nicest hair. I'm bald, so.
Yes, cue ball.
Right. cable.
So Matthew Nelson, who just loves sports with just like a wild passion, has compiled a really great mix of sports clips for me to kind of help me further my sports education, as I have basically rejected it my entire life. So they've locked me in a studio here and are force-feeding me clips.
We're not going to let you out until you like sports, until you admit it. So, Brittany, the sports world can sometimes be a little bit male-dominated.
I can see that.
Just a touch. So, our next clip comes from a show called Be Honest with Carrie Champion. It's a show released by ESPNW, which is ESPN's offering for their female sports fans. Mm-hmm. So the show often looks at sports issues through the lens of race and gender. Mm-hmm. On the clip that we're about to play, Carrie Champion is talking with her producer, Josh Macri, about rants in sports and how outspoken female and male athletes can sometimes be treated differently. And the reason she's talking about rants is because this is right around the time that Kanye West was going off on a bunch of rants on Twitter. And she was looking at why we're so fascinated by this idea of celebrities losing control.
Mm.
So before we get started, I'm going to drop some more sports knowledge on you. So something you need to know. Carrie is going to reference Serena Williams' notorious rant at the 2009 US Open when she threatened to shove a ball down the throat of an umpire after mm-hmm. she was called for a foul. And for that, she was fined more than $80,000, which is the biggest fine in tennis history. And she's also going to reference John McEnroe, who was a really big tennis player in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he was also famously outspoken and would do a lot of ranting of his own. And he used to abuse umpires for fun.
Sounds pleasant.
Everyone really gave Serena a hard time for her rant. And they felt like it was inappropriate and she was vilified for her rant. But yet, John McEnroe made a ton of money off of being a ranter, if you will.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
I shake my head because why is it okay for him to do it and women can't do it?
Was it okay, though?
I personally don't think so, but he wasn't vilified the way that Serena was vilified.
He profited off of it, and he
makes
a name off of it. But I think at the time, and neither of us were around at that time.
Sure.
But I think at the time, people were frowning upon him for that as well.
I'm a tennis historian of sorts. I am. I don't remember him receiving the largest fine in tennis history. I do not remember him being fined so much so that it had never been done in the sport of tennis. So this is why, and I remember Serena writing about it, saying the money that in fact she had to give to the WTA was an unheard of amount and that she was going to be motivated. That money would motivate her to be better than ever. I don't remember that happening to him. And you know why it didn't happen to him? There's something acceptable, this double standard. You can't explain double standards, but there's something acceptable about his rant. So I pose this question. If I was the female version of Kanye West, could I rant?
Is that a rhetorical question?
I'm asking.
Actually asking me?
If I went on a Twitter rant right now, if I just went off on something that I was really serious about, you in less than 5 minutes, the higher ups would be like, "Let me talk to you, Carrie." Well, there's a co-anchor who no longer works here who used to say on air, "Djokovic, don't make me have to Djokovic someone. I love him to death."
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that on air.
Try it out at the French.
Yeah, I alluded to the fact that I didn't like someone because of their killer instinct. I wanted someone else on my team as opposed to that person because that person has more killer instinct. I didn't use those words, yes, but trust me having an opinion, an authoritative opinion, really bothered people. Why is that? I'm asking you because you're a man and you have all the answers, right?
Well, I do have all the answers, but I don't have this one.
I don't know. And I just get sick and tired of being sick and tired of the double standard, Josh. I do. Like you sit there and you look around and you fumble and you look like you're ready to go. You wouldn't do that to your male podcasters, would you?
Carrie. Man, out of nowhere.
I see you. He's like, oh, she's talking about me. She's talking about me.
I'm taking notes to make this podcast as good as it possibly can be. And you come and attack me viciously like that, uncalled for.
Viciously. Now, but if I was your male podcaster, you wouldn't mind it. You'd take it. It'd be all fun and games, now, wouldn't it? It'd be all fun and games, now, wouldn't it, Josh?
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I find interesting about sports, and even sports journalism to this degree, is that like you have such an opportunity to examine how people feel about certain like types of Americans by the way that we talk about our sports.
How do you mean?
Like John McEnroe is like a white man and Serena Williams is a black woman. And tennis is also a very, very, very white sport, more so than almost any other sport that Americans pay attention to in a wide measure. I mean, with the exception of like obviously ice hockey and golf. And tennis has like, I think, the fast-paced athleticism of like a sport like hockey or basketball or football, but it also has the sort of like patrician ideals of like golf. Tennis is also like a country club sport, and a lot of country clubs in the past and also still to this day, and tennis clubs in the past didn't allow a lot of black people in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those facilities. So the fact that like the greatest tennis player in the world, possibly the greatest tennis player of all time, and also like possibly the greatest American athlete of all time is a black woman, like the fact that that bothers people, it's reminiscent of the way that a lot of people in America feel about black women in general, and a lot of people feel about black people in spaces that are traditionally white.
And it's not just the spectators, it's also like the punishment. Like Serena got the biggest fine that has ever been handed out to a tennis player for something that it seems like McEnroe was just doing in pretty much every single game that he played. And he was applauded for it and it became part of his shtick. And I feel like it's almost like if he turns up to play, people are like, oh, go on, like do something to the umpire.
Yeah.
Like it's like he's like this pantomime villain. But as soon as this like black woman does it, everybody's like, no, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, all she said was, I'm going to put the ball down your throat.
Yeah.
There's worse places to put it.
There are worse places to put it. And also, like, it's sports. People's adrenaline is rushing and their emotions are high. People say things in the heat of the moment to umpires all of the time. At children's soccer games, they do it all of the time. And, like, this is this woman's livelihood. If she feels like she's got an unfair call, like any other athlete, she's going to be angry. And the person to be angry at a lot of times is the umpire.
Yeah, exactly. I do that every week when I play co-ed soccer. I'm always abusing the referee. Bad call, sir.
Yeah.
Bad call.
It's a part. It's like one of those things, like, that's a part of the culture of sports.
Okay, so, Brittany, we are entering into the fourth quarter of our show.
Okay.
A little sportsy reference there for you.
I think I caught it.
Right. And I have one more clip for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, of course. I'm game.
Clutch time. Here we go. I'm looking at my notes and the heading is tight butts, which
I
is,
love it.
Yeah, so get psyched for this one.
I'm excited. It's one of my faves.
Yeah, tight butt stuff. So this clip is from a podcast called The Starters, and it's this sort of comedic, satirical, goofy NBA show which kind of embraces the lighter side of sports.
I've heard of this show before. I've heard of this show. This is popular.
Yeah, it's great. Even if you don't like basketball, you can totally enjoy this.
Mm.
So the show is hosted by J.E. Skeets. He's joined by Taz Mellis, Lee Ellis, Trey Kirby, and Matt Austin. And a lot of their episodes end with a series of rapid-fire questions that the panel answers. And these are generally basketball-related only in the most sort of tangential way. So they end up talking about all kinds of random crap. And this clip is a perfect example of that.
Before we go, a few rapid-fire questions. JD, when you're ready. After being fooled by a satirical article, rapper Ja Rule tweeted that Michael Jordan receives a dollar every time someone posts the crying MJ face. To be clear, he does not. Guys, what's something you've mistakenly believed?
That his name is Ja Rule.
Yeah. What did I say?
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule.
No. Ja Rule.
Jeez, come on.
French rapper Ja Rule.
I always thought it was Ja Rule.
You never listened to Ja Rule in Paris?
Ja Rule.
Struggling to describe the very close Raptors Heat series, which has already seen three overtime games, Dwayne Wade noted, I don't know how much tighter your butt cheeks can get than this series. What's something that tightens your butt cheeks?
My wife likes to play a game around our house called Open Up Your Butthole. Where anytime I'm just standing around, you know, cooking or something, walks by, tries to goose me. So I got to keep it tight.
Lee? Hold on. What? And she says, open up your butthole as she's doing it?
Yeah, always. Always. And then she, like, you know, goes for it with a little hook finger. Hey, open up your butthole. And I'm like, hey, relax.
Turbulence on a plane.
What was the question again? Oh, it's something that tightens your butt cheek. Yeah, okay.
That's so asinine. I love that.
Yeah. So, same question to you. When's your butt get tight?
Oh, every time I sneeze. If I don't do it, every single time I sneeze, if I don't do it, I know I'll fart. Every time I sneeze, I have to do it. It's the truth.
What? That's not possible. You're only supposed to fart when there's gas.
Every single time. I just am terrified that I'm going to do it. So, like, I've been squeezing my butt every time I sneeze for at least 15 minutes. Maybe almost 20 years. So, yeah. What about you?
So, yeah, I have a lot of experience of tight butt stuff. Mm-hmm. I lived in Japan for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I taught English out there. And in Japan, they have this thing called the kancho. And mm-hmm. kancho is the Japanese word for enema. And what little kids like to do is that they like to take their two index fingers and put them together in a point, and they will scream kancho, and they will shove their fingers up your butt. And so I used to teach English to little kids, and they absolutely loved a good kancho. Like the kancho was as common as like a handshake or a high five for me in Japan. I was just like constantly every day, just like having some kid like put their fingers up my butt. Like the kids would be sat around, we'd be like learning the alphabet, or they'd be like apple, and they'd be like, yeah, apple. And I'd like turn around to get the banana card or something. Yeah. And there's like somebody's fingers would like go up my butt. They'd be like, kancho.
Yeah, you're like the teacher, you're making them learn English.
Yeah, they don't want to do
you
that.
You have like this, you know, they probably think you talk so goofy.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably feel like you look really crazy.
If anyone needs an enema, it's this guy trying to teach us the words for fruits. And it is the equivalent of like, they're doing it to me, like I'm in charge. It's like me going up to Alex Bloomberg. In the concho. I would lose my job.
Yeah, you would lose your job if you conchoed. Like our boss, CEO of Gimlet, Alex Bloomberg. I wouldn't advise it.
No.
But you learn something new every day.
Right. And that's the beauty of the starters is you start with this small basketball reference and then you're catapulted off into this world of butt stuff. And
yeah. What else could you want from podcasting, really?
Nothing.
To recap the clips featured on the show today, The Legend of Steve Davies was from Snap Judgment. The Irrational Hatred of Other Teams' Players was from Pardon My Take. The Rant on Rants was from Be Honest with Carrie Champion. And the Rapid Fire Butt Stuff was from the Starters Podcast. Stay tuned after the credits for a taste of what's coming up on Sampler. This episode was produced by Matthew Nelson, Sarah Abdurrahman, and myself with help from Kate Parkinson Morgan. It was edited by Annie Rose Strasser. Our theme music was made by Mike Avellian, and our ad music was made by Mark Phillips. Additional music in the show was by Bobby Lord. The show was mixed by Matthew Bull and Enoch Kim. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media. On the next Sampler, I finally get to sit down with the man they call the mayor of podcasting, Paul F. Tompkins. Or is it John C. Reilly?
Hey, Brittany. Awesome to be here. Listen, thanks for having me on your show. I'm always happy to talk about podcasts, and I know there's a lot of people that think podcasts are awesome, and so it's cool to be here.